It's that time of year again. The time when we all get hit with a ton of perspective and ponder how to make the next 365 days way better than the last. Every year we have the perfect plan. It's fail-proof. There's just one problem. Every year we are the authors of that plan, and every year we fall short of it. It's time to change the author of our plans and prepare for the best year ever.
All right, well, it's getting close to the new year, and I tell you, I love Christmas time. I love the excitement, I love the energy, I love everything except for the fact that every store in the world starts Christmas like in October. But I love Christmas and the whole thing about it. You know, but what I really, really love is the fact that just 1 week after Christmas starts the new year. You know, we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross and he's made us a new creation. And then from a calendar standpoint, we get a new opportunity to start fresh. I love the fact the Bible talks about the fact that God creates a 24-hour period, and then it says that his mercies, his grace, his understanding, his gifts, his all that stuff is new every morning. That every single morning we wake up, we have that new, fresh opportunity to start again, to start over. And when we look at the new year, I always look at it that way. I go, man, God is giving us another opportunity to start over, to start fresh. And I know 2014 has been a rough year for a lot of you, and I think a lot of us are going, man, we can't wait for 2014 to be over with. But, you know, we have to ask the question, what's going to be different in 2015? What's going to be different? Now, what often happens is you get around this time of year, and if you just Google it when you go home, everybody has advice on how you should set New Year's resolutions and how you should do new goals. And there's all sorts of stuff out there, and it's not necessarily bad, but it's talking about, you know, set practical goals, set relatable goals, set goals that you can measure, set goals that you can do things. And so they talk about setting all these goals or breaking or changing a habit. You know, it takes 21 days to break and or change or begin a habit. And so, you know, this is how you do it. It's step by step, and you do this and you do that. And they talk about all sorts of things. They talk about knocking out things on your bucket list. You know, that thing you say, hey, I want to do all these things before I die. They say, you know, maybe 2015 is the year for you to knock out this and knock out this on your bucket list. And it gives you these, you know, seven simple steps to the best year ever and all these different things. But they're all flawed because they all start with us. We sit down with a white sheet of paper that represents what 2015 is supposed to look like, and we begin to scribble down our ideas and our thoughts and our agendas and our plans and all these different things. And I would encourage you, if you do that, to then take that piece of paper and fold it and put it in an envelope and then open it 6 months later and evaluate yourself then. Because what really happens, right, is we set all these huge, high, lofty goals, and then life happens. And we miss, and we mess up, and we move away from, and we don't do those goals, and we don't achieve anything. And 2015 ends up looking very similar to 2014, except we're older. Not necessarily wiser, but older. And so we go, man, we've wasted another opportunity. So what I wanted to do, and I've done messages, you know, on how to set goals and how to do things and how to change. But as we got thinking about this year, I said, man, you know what? I want to start from really the foundation of all things. And I want to go, man, let's focus on really, if we will do these things, it doesn't matter what our goals are. It doesn't matter what our agenda is. It doesn't matter what our habits are. It doesn't matter what our bucket list is. It doesn't matter, because if we start with this, and we focus on this, then everything else will flow out of it, and we're guaranteed to have the best year ever. And I'm going to give you five things that you can do that will guarantee you to have the best year that you have ever had if you consistently do these things. And it's not a guarantee that's based in me, because that guarantee is worth absolutely nothing. It's a guarantee from God. And God has said, if you do these things, you will be successful. So what I want to do is I want to begin and kind of lay the foundation. And we're going to begin in Psalm chapter 33, verses 10 and 11. And it's the writer David, and he writes these words, verses 10 and 11. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of peoples. Now, I want to pause for just a second, because I think this is something that we need to fully understand. Because sometimes we think this, that things fail in our life because maybe we didn't properly vet it out with God, and so God didn't support it. And we think that things happen because God didn't get behind it or whatever the case may be. But I want you to notice this, because this is so important. It is not that God didn't support, but he actively worked against their plans. Look at that. Thwarts, right? That's the first thing. It says he thwarts. I love that, because every time I hear that, I think of the old 1960s Batman TV show, you know, where he's thwarting Penguin's plan all the time. But anyways, but he thwarts and he foils the plans of people. You see, sometimes we see God as this thing out here, and if we engage him, then that's great. And if we allow him to come in and we allow him to kind of direct and guide and all those things, well, that's a kind of a positive. It's kind of a plus. It's kind of a super booster, a nitro to our plans. But the reality is that if we do not go to God and allow God to be the author of our plans, our agendas, our paths, then it's not that God is not working for you. It's that God is literally working against you. You see, part of the reason that our years continue to kind of pile up on each other without the success or without the achievement, without the things, and I use that in context of what God wants for you, not what you want for you. Part of the reason is because we never stop and begin with God. And so God goes, if you don't want me as a part of it, I'm a part of it whether you like it or not. The question is whether or not I'm for you or against you. Verse 11. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. So you see, if we make our plans, they're guaranteed to fail. But if we follow God's plans, it's a guaranteed success. So here's the big idea. If you miss everything else I say, don't miss this. It's very simple. It comes straight out of this verse. When your plans and God's plans are in conflict, you will always fail. When your plans and God's plans are in conflict, you will always fail. God, if you want to say it in the positive, God will always win. He just always will. And the opposite of that is this, but when your plans follow God's plans, you're guaranteed success. So if it's your plans versus God's plans will always win because he's God. If, however, you say, listen, I want to make my plans submissive to God's plans and following God's plans, then you are guaranteed, regardless of what happens, regardless of what may happen in life, regardless of circumstances, regardless of what surprises that 2015 will hold, because you know it's going to hold some surprises. Regardless of what may come, if your plans follow God's, you are guaranteed success. Now, again, we have to define success in the context of what God wants for us, not necessarily what we want for us. So that's the big idea. So what I want to do, so if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 16, because we're going to camp out in Proverbs 16. And in fact, I would encourage you, challenge you, if you are a New Year's resolution, a goals, agenda-driven strategy person, if you like a blank piece of paper like I like a blank piece of paper when you're working through stuff, I would challenge you, before you put a single stroke of ink on that white piece of paper that's beautiful and crisp, that, you know, has all the opportunities sitting waiting to be revealed on it, read through Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 is the greatest chapter in the Bible when it comes to planning or strategy or agendas or goals or objectives or anything like that. It just, as you read through it, you will glean more and more. We don't have time to go through the entire thing, but we're going to pull some verses out and we're going to look through the first few and then jump down a little bit later, because in Proverbs chapter 16 are the five keys that if we will do these things, will guarantee us success and guarantee us the best year ever. The first key is this. We need to learn to ask the right question. Sometimes, and I think, I'll be honest, I've been there before, I've wasted so much time searching for the answer to the wrong question. You ever done that? You're asking this question in your head, well, how can I do this, this, and this? And the problem is that we're investing all this energy and time and effort and sometimes finances into finding the answer to this question, and we find the answer to the question only to discover that we were asking the wrong question all along. And so here's what the first thing that you need to do, if you want to really have the best year ever, is you need to understand that there is a question that you need to ask. And the question that you need to ask is very, very simple. God, what is it that you want for me in 2015? God, what is it that you want for me in 2015? Because, see, the answer to that question will drive everything else that you do this year. Ask the question, okay, God, what do you see me doing? What are the things you want me to work on? What are the goals you want me to achieve? What's the agenda that you want me to set? God, what is it that you want for me in 2015? If you're a husband, if you're a wife, you need to ask the question, God, what do you want for me? What do you want for my children? What do you want for my family? Because those are things you need to think about, because you do not serve or live alone. You live in context of family, and so it's important to do that. But I want you to see why this is important. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. We can make our own plans, and we do that, right? How many of you are planners? You love to, like, plan strategic stuff? Okay, cool. I love to plan out stuff. Now, I'm not a detail person. I'm more the big picture kind of thing. If you were a detail person, you know, I'm gonna go, hey, here's the big picture, go run with it. Well, what about this? Does it fit within the plan? Okay, good, just go. Go do it, because I don't want to hear the details. It agitates me. But anyways, Proverbs 16:1, we can make our own plans. He says, hey, you go right ahead. You make your own plans. You have fun. But the Lord gives the right answer. The Lord gives the right answer. In other words, listen, you can make your plans all you want, but the answer comes from God. And if you are asking the wrong question, yet God gives you the right answer, your question and God's answer don't line up. Therefore, guess who is not going to have the best year ever? Because God is the one that determines. God is the one who guides and directs. And if we're asking the wrong question, if we're starting with what I want, what do I need to focus on, then we are starting in the wrong direction and we're setting ourselves up for failure. So the first key is to learn to ask the right question. The second key is this, to look into your heart. Not only do you need to ask the right question, but you need to look into your heart. Do you remember when, and maybe they're this age, but usually around 2 to 3 years old, if they're still doing it as teenagers, just have a come to Jesus meeting with them. But you know, they're 2 to 3 years old, and you tell them to do something, and they ask a one-word question. See, you know. So, okay, we're all the same. Why? Now, you know what? If they get older and they start asking that, it's like, okay, seriously, you just need to grow up a little bit. But when they're younger, the reason they ask that is because they really want to know. Well, why? They're learning the world. They're discovering new things. They're going, okay, well, why? Why is that important? Why do I need to do that? Why am I going? And see, this is so important for each and every one of us, that when we begin to make goals and we begin to look at our year, we have to ask ourselves the question, why? Why? So I want to make $10,000 more in 2015 than I did in 2014. Why? Why? Is it because it'll make you feel more important? Is it because it makes you feel better about yourself? Is it because you think you need that to be able to feel like you're important? Well, I want to lose 10 pounds in 2015. Make it 11 because the holidays just ended. Why? Why? Are you afraid that people think you're fat? Are you afraid that people might think ugly about you? Are you worried about what your husband or what your wife might think about you? Why? You see, the motivation behind why we do what we do is just as important to God as what we do. Look at this, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2. All a person's ways seem pure to them, right? We're like, oh, well, I have the best motivation. I want to do this because of X, Y, and Z. And what's funny is the only person we're fooling is us. The only person that's buying into that lie is us. And I want you to see what God does. But motives are weighed by the Lord. You see, God goes, why? He asks the question and answers the question, why are you doing what you're doing? And so if you begin with the right question, God, what is it that you want me to do? And then you begin to look at the motivations of your heart and you go, the reason I'm doing this is not God honoring. The reason I'm doing this is selfish. The reason I'm doing this is because I'm putting too much importance on what other people think about me. The reason I'm doing this is because I put too much importance in how much money I make. The reason I'm doing this is because I want to look important. I want to look beneficial. I want to look as if I'm somebody that matters. And the reason that we're doing it is opposed to what God says about us, then I guarantee you that God will not only not work for you, but that God will work against you because he does not want that for you. So learn to look into yourself. Learn to look into your heart. So ask the right question. Look into your heart for the motivation. Number three, dedicate it to the Lord. Dedicate it to the Lord. The most guaranteed way to achieve your dreams is to surrender those same dreams to God. Now, we'll go back a little bit, Old Testament. And what was interesting is that the kings that honored God and loved God and followed God, every time God would give them a directive, if God would say, listen, I want you to go to war against so-and-so, I want you to attack so-and-so, I want you to build this, I want you to handle this, whatever the case may be, if it was some significant thing that they would do, all the kings would do something very interesting. They would either, if they were out and about, they would build an altar or they would go to the temple where the altar was. And they would make a sacrifice there. They would take a lamb, they would take a bull, they would take a goat, whatever the case may be. They would put it on the altar, they would kill it, they would burn it, and they would make this sacrifice to God. And they would say, God, our desire is to follow your plan, to go your direction, and our desires, our dreams, we sacrifice to you because we want to do what you want us to do. One of the things I would challenge you to do as you look at 2015 is that you would take every single dream, desire, plan, strategy, agenda, goal, and you would take it and you would place it on the altar before God and you say, God, all these things are things that I want. All these things are my dreams, my agendas, my hopes, my desires, and I hold them very dear in my heart. But God, because you are God and I am not, and you're the one that determines who is successful, who achieves, who accomplishes, and whether or not this would be the best year ever, I am placing all of them on the altar, God. I'm giving them all to you. You can have them. They're yours. God, whatever you want for me is what I want for me. And when you dedicate them all to God, you give them, you surrender them all to God, and you leave them there, there's an amazing truth. God says when you do that, look at this, Proverbs 16:3. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will what? You see, we have this crazy, whacked out idea that the minute that we surrender our dreams to God is the minute that our dreams will never become realized. The truth is, almost all of those dreams, unless they some way, shape, or form contradict the truth of the Word of God, God has placed those dreams in your heart. And God wants those things to become a reality for you, but they will never become a reality for you until you honor God first. And until you're willing to say, God, I take these dreams, these desires, these hopes, and I place them all at your feet. I let go of them, and I let go of all those things that I want for myself. And I say, God, whatever you want for me. And that's when God goes, awesome. Now we can start making those things become a reality in your life. You see, those dreams that you've got, you will never achieve those on your own. You won't. It's only until you surrender to God's plan and follow God's path that you will ever see those things become a reality. And you say, well, what if those dreams aren't what God has for me? Then here's what that means. That means that God's dreams for you are better than the dreams that you have for you. That means that you will enjoy the end result more than you would enjoy the end result if you got what you wanted. Because God loves you more than you love you. And God wants more for you than what you want for you. So make sure that you dedicate it to the Lord. Number four, ask the right question, look into your heart, dedicate it to the Lord, and follow the Spirit's leading. Follow the Spirit's leading. Now, I have had to learn over the past years of my life and my strategy and my map making, and this is what we're going to do next, and this is what we're going to do next, that God tends to not work on our timetable. Have you figured that out yet? God tends to do things on his own, and I'll tell you, God has a wicked sense of humor. There's nothing evil about God, but he has a wicked sense of humor. And I have learned that when I plan things out, I need to realize that I am seeing maybe the end objective, but I don't realize that God has got all sorts of unbelievable detours on the path that I don't see yet. And see, what happens is that we believe this is what God wants for us. We know that this is what God wants for us. And so we start moving in a straight line direction towards that. And God goes, no. That is what I want for you, but we're not going to go here. We're going to go over here first. And you're going, God, but that is not here. That's not the quickest route to here. And God goes, oh, yes, it is. Because if you get this now, it'll ruin you. You need this first. And often, the detours that are unplanned turn out to be some of the greatest blessings we will ever experience. And so we have to be willing to follow the Spirit's leading in our life. And if we're not willing to follow the Spirit's leading in our life, we will never achieve the directives, the goals, the dreams that God has for us. Look at this, Proverbs 16, verse 9. In their human hearts, or their heart, excuse me, in their hearts, it is a human heart, but in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. You see, this talks to the sovereignty of God. It's like you're going, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go in this direction for 10 steps. And when we get to that 10th step, we're going to turn right. And you go to step, and God goes, nope, we're going to go over here. And you're like, no, God, this is the direction that we're going. He goes, no, that's not the direction that you're going. That's the direction you think you're going, but this is actually the direction that we're going. Because God establishes, it's like he takes our feet and goes, there. And what's interesting is that he uses the word steps. We like to get to our goals as fast as possible, don't we? You know what's interesting, though? We're told that we're supposed to model our lives after Jesus Christ. And have you ever noticed that Jesus Christ was never in a hurry to get anywhere? He may have run, but at nowhere, probably when he was a kid, he ran and beat everybody else. But nowhere is it recorded that Jesus ran anywhere. He always walked. In fact, the only time it's recorded that he ever actually rode anything was the donkey into Jerusalem. Now, you see, we look at that and we go, well, that's because he didn't have a car, and that's because, you know, there were chariots, there were horses, there were all sorts of things that he could have, but he just took his time. He was never in a hurry. Now, what's interesting, though, is we talk about this and we go, well, how do we know the difference between the Spirit's leading and the bad anchovies that I had at 1 o'clock this morning? How do I know the difference between that uneasy feeling in my own gut and what God is trying to direct and do in my life? And I will tell you, the number one way, if you want to have the best year ever and be able to follow the Spirit's leading, is you need to daily be into the Word of God. You need to daily read, daily listen. If you really want some wisdom and understanding, I would encourage you highly every single day to read from the book of Proverbs. Read the proverb that corresponds to the day. If it's day 2 or, you know, January 2nd, read Proverbs chapter 2. It would be a great way for you to gain wisdom and insight and for you to become sensitive to the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit, when He guides and directs us, uses the Word of God to guide and direct us. And so one of the things that we did to equip you to the best year ever is we bought some Bibles. And so if you have a Bible that's at home that was your mom's Bible that you can't read because it sounds like a Shakespearean play, and you don't have one, I want to encourage you to go to the back afterwards and grab one of these. It's easy to read. It's got a lot of understanding for you, and you can do that. If you say, I don't have a Bible at all, you'll use YouVersion or whatever, that's great. But I would encourage you to actually grab one of these as well, because one of the most beneficial things that you can do is to circle and underline and write notes and all that stuff. And it's kind of hard to do on a screen, you know, that doesn't want you to do that. So you can grab one of these and be able to do that as well. But we want to give that as a gift to you who want it, because we know that the best way to be able to know if it's the Spirit's leading and not the bad pizza that you had is to be in the Word of God every single day. So we've got to ask the right question. That question is, God, what is it that you want from me? We've got look into your heart, check your motivation, make sure it lines up with what God has for you. We've got dedicated to the Lord, let go of your dreams, put them on the altar of God. We've got follow the Spirit's leading, that even though it doesn't seem to fit with what you want for you, God may sometimes take you on a detour that'll turn out to be a better blessing than the actual path that you were on. And finally, never solely trust yourself. Never solely trust. Trust yourself. If you are your own greatest advisor, you are in trouble. If you don't have people in your life who will tell you the truth, you're in trouble. In fact, I will go so far as to say what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that a man who does not have counselors who will tell them the truth is a fool. Now, I have met some of these people over the life of 20-plus years in ministry. They will ask you, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. And you tell them, that's really not a good idea. I think that will end up destroying you. They will not listen to you. They will go find somebody else. And they'll continue to find people until somebody goes, what a great idea. And they'll say, I asked lots of people, and they all agreed with me. No, they didn't. You found one person or two people that agree with you because they're as stupid as you are. And they want to be your friend. So they'll tell you it's a great idea and ruin your life. What a great friend they are. You need people in your life who will not tell you what you want to hear, but tell you what you need to hear. That's a true friend. That is someone who really has your best interest at heart. And those are the people you need to listen to. If all you do is surround yourself with idiots, guess what type of decisions you'll make? It's not hard. Idiotic. So you surround yourself with people who will tell you the truth. In spite of how, now, if you're one of those people that they come to you, the Bible says that we are to speak the truth, but we're to speak it in love, right? I love you. That's a stupid idea. Don't do that. That'll ruin your life. But we are to speak the truth. I want you to know this. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. You see, when we're our own best advisor, the paths that we choose lead us away from God instead of towards God. Lead us away from God's best and into what we believe is best, which is at best, second best. We need people around us who will tell us the truth. Proverbs 15, 22. This may be probably, Other than maybe a couple of others, this is probably one of my top five favorite proverbs of all time. Because it is so helpful for any of you in making plans, or if you're a leader in any way, shape, or form, this drips with unbelievable wisdom. Listen to this. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. When you have many people around you who will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, your potential for success and accomplishment and your potential for the best year ever increases exponentially, because they will keep you safeguarded from making bad decisions. I want to end this morning with reading Psalm chapter 20, verse 4. And here's the reason I want to read it for you. It's because David writes this, and he writes this as a prayer to his people. And in it, he's talking about the fact that he says, listen, I want God's best for you. I want you to see all of the things that God has for you. And in Psalm 20, you can go back and read it. He just lays out what he sees as God's best. And he lays out what he sees will happen if they don't follow for God's best. And he walks through all of these things. And then in verse 4, he pens this unbelievable, I call it like this pastoral or leadership prayer over his people. And so what I want to do is, as we end this morning, and as you think about those things and realize that your plans and God's plans, if they're in conflict, you're guaranteed to fail. But when your plans are subservient or surrendered, submissive to God's plans, you're guaranteed success. And all those keys that we've talked about, and you begin to put those things into practice, and you begin to work through those things, and maybe you're going to read Proverbs chapter 16 in its totality with that blank sheet of paper in front of you. I want the words that David wrote to his people to just wash over your heart and your mind as we close this morning. So would you do me a favor? Would you just close your eyes? I just want to read these as a prayer over each and every one of you as we begin 2015. May he grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy when we hear your victory and raise a victory banner in the name of our God. May the Lord answer all your prayers. God, we thank you so much. We thank you for the truth of your word. God, we thank you for the challenge that your word is to us, each individually and as a body of Christ, that you challenge us to never settle for less than your best for us. God, you challenge us to let go of our dreams and our desires and place them on the altar of your truth. And God, that you will give us the desires that you have placed in our heart when we are willing to surrender to your lead. And God, whatever 2015 holds in store for us, whatever surprises or detours, losses or gains, victories or defeats, we know that if we follow you, if we surrender to your lead, that it will be the best year ever. In Jesus' name, amen.